Wait, I didn't realize that black people knew who David Spade was.
I'm not your average black person, right? I'm sitting here with you.
Okay. Okay.
We start in the episode. One time, we lived next to the rapper YG. Uh-huh. He lived next door to us. And one of his cars was blocking our driveway. And Leanne's like, fuck it, we'll tow him. And I was like, no, don't tow him. Like, uh-huh. Let's reach out. I hit him up on DMs, like, see if he can move the car. She's like, no, fuck him, tow him. I said, no. She goes, he's famous. I'm not worried. I don't fucking care about him. And I go, it's not him you have to worry about. Yep. It's the dude who needs to make sure that he can prove that he's worth 50 grand a year that's gonna fucking shoot you and piss on our front yard.
It's always the dude that has nothing to lose.
Yes.
It's never like, you consider a certain thing, well, this could cost me this part of my career, but the person that's borrowing his girlfriend's car, not bringing gas in it and leaving blunt wrappers, that's the guy that you need to worry about.
It's Baby Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Baby Boy. You ever see Baby Boy?
Uh-uh.
It's the best fucking. You ever see Baby Boy?
Yeah.
It's the best fucking movie.
Speaking of, should we get a booster seat for Donnell?
No.
The funny thing about that, I thought about that.
Should we get a phone book? Does anyone have a phone book for Donnell?
No, I need some height. I feel like Cat Williams or Club Shay Shay right now. They know I'm coming. I know you're coming. Oh, you can't say that. Come on, let me do my Shannon Sharp impression. Oh, Kat, you can't say that. No, Kat, you can't say that. Come on, Kat, you can't say that. No, Kat, come on. Oh, no, Kat, you can't say that. Oh, no, Kat. That might have ruined my career. And the reason why I tell you.
That's not what it was.
All right, we all in the podcast game, where sometimes we may offend people and they come and attack you, right? Yeah. I've been attacked by a Nicki Minaj crew. That's the Barbs.
Why? What?
Okay, this is why, first off, there's no reason why they get upset other than I was doing a David Spade show, right? Mm-hmm. And they put up a picture, you comment on the picture, right? And it was a picture of Nicki Minaj and Cardi B. And I said, well, the reason why, Dad, when I tell a story, I feel like I'm in prison. I said, the reason why Nicki Minaj has a beef with Cardi B, because Cardi B took her shine, right? Mm-hmm. The barbers went off of me.
Wait, I didn't realize that black people knew who David Spade was.
I'm not your average black person, right? I'm sitting here with you.
Okay.
It was awful. Uh-huh. And they attack you with like emojis. it was so funny because a lot of the barbs, first off, I found out the barbs used to be ran by Lil Nas. Lil Nas was a professional troller that went in to instigate
stuff.
I'm telling you what I know, son.
Why is he
Yo,
Lil
why
Nas?
Is everybody questioning what the fuck I say in this Black History Month? Can I get some? Can I get this month? Can I get the end of this fucking month? And then you call me at the last 2 days of Black History Month. You didn't give a fuck about it when it really meant
something. No, we know that it's Black History Month here. Bert even had grape soda in the fridge.
Oh, come on. We're not doing this. This ain't black. Ain't no sugar in that shit.
I thought it was weird.
That's white black.
No, I thought it was odd.
That's white black. All right, so go back to how they attacked me with the emojis, right?
What emojis did they use?
Unicorns.
Oh, no.
Yeah, then they was like this. Listen, they was...
Dildo horses.
But look, they was hitting me with the unicorns, right? And then they was putting clown faces. Like, they called me a unicorn clown. They put bullseye signs, a little guns. And that wasn't enough for them to do it on their page. They found my page, and then I went to some other page, because I'm trolling, I'm reverse trolling, right? Went to the other page, They said, girl, and I think they were talking to dudes, right? Yeah. They said, girl, I found this page. Meet me over there, right? And they was going hard, like clown face for a week, all clown faces. They was doing a middle finger emoji. They was doing guns and putting prayer signs on the end of that shit. That was the beef I had with the barbs, right? I had to deal with them. Then the beehives attacked me. Those Beyoncés.
Oh, the fucking Trick Daddy got slept. He got fucking, beehive. He got worked by the beehive and was like, this is Trick Daddy, who does not give a fuck. He was like, yeah, don't fuck with the beehive.
And then next, you know who was next? Swifties.
Oh, the Swifties.
Oh, that's about
it. But one. I calmed that down because they know I got jungle fever, so that didn't really last that long, right? I'm just telling y'all what it is. And all I had to do was quote one of my songs. They was like, you ain't shit. And then I said, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. And then that beef was done.
Oh, good.
Now, you just had to own it.
Yeah, I had to own it. But now I'm telling you, out of all of those games, Cat wins, and I called him this. He got the kitty cats.
Oh, no, the pussies. No,
well, it's just hold on. His Cat Williams followers are the kitty cats?
I call them the kitty cats.
Oh, wow.
And they don't want to hear shit you got to say.
Yeah. No.
Anything you say, you can say, I love him. Well, where's the lie? That's the whole
thing. You wear a dress.
Yeah, you, where's the...
That's...
Yo, if I don't get over this dress shit... Yo,
dude,
I want to address the dress. Right?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Dude, you
don't know about dresses?
I'm a mom. I don't know anything anymore.
Listen, the biggest thing you can say to destroy a black comedian's career.
Not the biggest, the worst.
The worst thing is he wore a dress.
You can't say that. And I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you is that I think it's bullshit. Now I'm going to get attacked because now I'm a sellout. I'm listening to the white man with the white woman right here. Yeah. So I'm just telling her what it is, son.
Yeah, no.
And on top of it, he was talking that white shit in Black History Month with fucking tuna steaks in front of him. They're going to get mad about that, son.
Listen. Wait, so Kat said that who wore a dress?
Whitney, you should never have had a baby. You're showing the fucking yesterday.
I'm gone.
Whitney, what? This is the biggest thing that's happened in comedy.
Okay.
Kat Williams.
I know the Kat Williams.
Fucking burned the boats.
Loved it.
He burned the boats and said,
obsessed.
Fuck them all. Kevin Hart.
Cedric.
Sucked P. Diddy's dick.
Yeah, Cedric.
He didn't say that.
He said
that's what I read.
No, he said, you gotta tell him no.
Oh, yeah, because Cat Williams has a virgin asshole. And right.
Not only that, he does a great job, because some people have virgin assholes and they want them to be penetrated.
Yeah.
But he said he had to protect his. He's protecting it.
Cat Williams, he burned the boats, burned the bridges.
Sure.
And by the way, I have to say, like, if we're talking, like, fuck everything about that. If we're talking from marketing perspective, Cat Williams, I'm sure, was selling OK tickets.
So let's go. Let's do our Cat Williams.
Like, like maybe 12,000 a night, right?
Can we do our version of the Cat Williams interview right now? Go.
Joe Rogan's gay. That's the Cat Williams
I'm
interview.
Leaving.
That's
the Cat Williams. Oh, come on, Bert. That's you can't say that, Bert. You can't say that, Bert.
But I'm not gay.
Oh, Bert.
I got a virgin asshole. Am I on Spotify? I'm not on Spotify.
Okay,
everyone on Spotify is wearing a dress.
Okay, Bert. Oh, Bert, you can't say that.
That's
word.
What they say.
Oh, you can't say that, Bert.
Listen.
Come on, Bert.
Donnell. it was a masterful marketing plan.
Oh, Kat said something about you?
He said something about he didn't touch Donnell or Chappelle.
Love it.
But he touched everyone else.
Yeah,
he said Earthquake can't read. They had to make Earthquake read on a radio show. They had to make Earthquake read. Like, well, I mean, like, I'm talking.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking. Let's talk about man shit. And Earthquake's a man. I would never talk shit about Earthquake.
Yeah. Right.
He's funny as fucking shit. But more importantly, he is a grown man.
Yeah, correct.
They made him read. That is like the most maniacal shit. It's crazy, but it's bizarre.
You know I've been through that.
Just read the ingredients.
Stop.
How many cups is this full? How many cups is that?
Four cups.
He can read, everybody. He can read.
That was a number.
That's a new podcast.
He has to do that for the lawsuits, but this word.
Wait, right there. I can't see that.
Right there.
I need glasses. I can't see that. Cholesterol. Why you do that to a black man? Why you put some cholesterol on a black man? I'm not going to be disrespected on my muff, son. And I'm telling you, I ain't saying not read. I couldn't read. The pressure. This is what I used to, when I was young, I was always a funny guy, right?
Yeah.
And worst thing, I used to just go crazy. If it was like, now it's your turn to read out loud.
Mm.
That's what it was. Because I've been funny so much. If I stutter or miss one word, they're gonna let me have it. So
yeah.
I don't think it's a thing of if Earthquake could read. I just think it might be the pressure of doing that in front of people.
One of the funniest things ever on the internet was during the Ice Bucket Challenge. 50 Cent said he'd donate $700,000.
If Floyd Mayweather could read
a page of Harry Potter with no stutters.
Oh, they went hard.
I couldn't do it.
He's got CTE though.
No, that's what, who said that?
50 Cent.
And then Floyd snapped back and said, I'll double that bet if you can get your kid to say, I love you. Yo, black, we go hard, son.
Dude, I don't want clown face emojis in my fucking comments.
I'm telling you, that comeback was like crazy.
That's fucking wild. So wait, our guest today, Something's Burning, Whitney Cummings, Donnell Rollins. Donnell's got a new special on Netflix. It is fucking fantastic. I watched it. Donnell, you're one of my favorite human beings, but you're one of my favorite comics.
Where'd you shoot the special?
In New York, at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Nice.
But it was interesting how it all came about, because a couple years ago, Dave said he wanted to produce my special, right? So we shot it. I might have talked about this on your platform, but we did it. We shot it at the Fillmore in North Carolina, right? And this was like right at the heels of the pandemic, when different venues still had COVID protocol.
Right, right.
And you had to do everything. So the spot that holds 600 people, we turned away like about 400 people because they didn't have the vaccination cards or whatever. Okay. So I was up against my wall just on that. You imagine going in a spot and it's half filled. Mm. So we shot the first, we did one stab at it and it was good. The second one, I really thought I banged it out, right?
Yeah.
So we had announced, because this is part of Dave Chappelle's home team series. He wanted to give people opportunity that maybe the industry had overlooked,
yep.
And it's people that he believed that should have.
Speaking of Earthquake,
that special's incredible.
Earthquake, Lunell. Wait, was it Lunell?
It was Earthquake, then on Lunell.
I mean, by the way, Chappelle's got amazing taste in comics. All his favorite comics are my favorite comics too.
Yeah.
And I think it's so great, and it's so different than like, nah, I don't want to slight anyone, but so many times you see someone pop, and then they go, .. presents, and it's just right. Their openers.
Yeah.
And then he just put on, Chappelle puts on Killers. Donnell, I've known you for years, but you're one of my favorite fucking comics
Thank
in the
you.
World.
Thank you. But going back to what I was saying, so we shot it. We did two stabs at it, and we had already announced that he had made Variety that he's doing his hometown series. Earthquake, Donnell Rollins is gonna be the first two out the gate, right? So I'm all excited. I'm all excited about it, right? And I'm like, we getting the press for it, it's coming out. And about 3 weeks after the announcement of the series is coming out, Dave called me. I was getting ready to go on stage. He called me. I was like, what's up, D? He said, don't get upset with me. He said, but I wanna shoot your special again. And you see, your reaction is what any comic would do. If you was like, that's the first thing you think is like, oh, was it not funny enough, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, I want to shoot it again. And I was like, why? He said, Donna, let me tell you. He said, I can put you in front of any audience, mm-hmm. right? And you will kill the audience, but it doesn't make it a great special,
yeah.
right? I'm like, what does that mean? Because, you know, some people just, it's a joke dump. You know how to do a photo
totally,
dump?
Totally.
Joke dump's the worst way to do a special.
Worst way.
Yeah.
Special needs to have an arc, and needs to have a point, needs to have a story. And I've seen some great joke dump specials
right.
where you just go, I remember that one joke, but yeah. I don't remember the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the specials you remember.
It should have a theme. It should have an overarching.
And that's what, and I was like, it's kind of tough to, you know, I don't have a problem with constructive criticism, right? But when he said that, I said, you got to tell me more. He said, well, first of all, he said, our back was against the wall with the COVID stuff. He said, mm-hmm. when you look at the shots, he said, it's a lot of COVID masks.
That's such
he
a
said,
bummer.
He said, so it would automatically dated the special.
It's
and
true.
He said, Donnell, out of everybody that I'm producing, your relationship with me on the Chappelle Show, he said, my special was the most anticipated. Not saying it was going to be the funniest or anything, but that connection, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, whatever. But then I said I had to listen because the check had already cleared. right? I was like, okay, continue, right? He said, let's do it again. I was like, all right, whatever. A year later, we were in Napa Valley doing some shows, and he records all his shows, right?
He records them on film, all of the shows he does?
Every show he does. Whether it's a workout, he records everything.
So does the audience.
There's a lot.
No, they don't.
Which is why he got the yonder bag.
Yeah, so he said, he looks at Ricky Hughes. He says, Ricky, how many cameras do we have here today? She said, we got 5. He looks at me, he told me, do you want to shoot your special? I said, when? He said, tomorrow.
Whoa.
Right? And it made me nervous for a second, but then I was like, I like the idea of doing it again with no spectacle, don't have to worry about a guest list, just underground. In fact, it was only 3 of us that knew we were even going to try to do it. And I felt really confident in that. Went up there, smashed the show, right? Yeah. I'm like, oh, we got it. I called Robbie Prawl. Right? Because Robbie Prawl was like, when are we going to do the special? And we were going to give it to him without them even knowing that we was... Nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And Robbie said, I want to see it. Right? He was like, I want to see it. I was like, we got it, right? Dave calls me in again. I want to do it again.
Jesus.
I'm like, why? He said, I didn't like the production. I'm like, you're the producer. Is this self-hate?
Yeah.
right?
No, but there's a question where you start going, is it ever going to be good enough for you? Because you're my best friend.
Yeah.
And like, are you going to, like, when can we just...
I'm going to tell you something. Both times, I wasn't excited about it. But both times, I stepped back and said, what was the problem with this one? He said... Well, lighting here and there's people moving around.
Yeah, because you told me the night before.
No, but not on, but it's not on that. Like, but because I wanted to go for a classic look. I said, let me get a microphone with a wire on it. Just give me a stool. Just give me a spot. Let's take it back to the old school, right? So he was like, there's people moving around. But I said, well, remember Richard Pryor live at Sunset Strip? One of his biggest jokes was, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I said, let's go for that. He was like, man, I'm telling you, I want to get it right. I said, can we handle it in post? He said, yeah, we can put it out if you want. And I said, I want it. He said, but I don't think it's a good idea, right? So I was like, this is twice. And then it came to a point, I was like, are we ever going to be able to get another date? His schedule, my schedule. And I was doing a New York Comedy Festival. So I was like, this venue was untapped. Nobody's ever shot there before. I was like, why don't we bring the, and I looked at his schedule, he was off. I was like, why don't we do it then? And whatever they say, third time is the charm. And now that I look at it, and everything he said to what I have now, everything he said made sense. The jokes evolved.
Yeah.
My look changed. The set looked great.
It's very loose.
Yeah.
I like when I watched it, you'd get nervous when you know comics as people. And you watch them work, you go, is their special going to be like this?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be them? And it
but
is.
But I'm going to tell you something.
From your first fucking joke.
Yo, the first set I did, you know when producers come up to you like this, they look at you like this. You know they're slightly honest. They're like this. They said, we got what we need. You don't want to hear that.
No.
You got what you need means.
I've definitely heard that post. Before.
Yeah.
We're going to do this.
We've got it. We've got it in the end.
We got it.
Yeah,
between both shows, we've got it.
And then I said, exactly. And I said, you got what you needed, but I didn't get what I needed, right? Took the suit jacket off, I put a hoodie on, I burnt the candle, I smoked the joint. I was like, man, fuck this. We're not doing this again. And you saw it, the vibe that I had. And when I came out, I was like this, it's game time now.
Yes, let's go.
I mean, I saw it with you, but I watched it by myself. It's done, L. You want it to be a representation of you.
The worst is when you see someone you love seeing in the clubs, you love seeing in theaters, who's so funny, who's like put in the hours, is like so, like in a flow state, and then you see their special and you see them doing a special, and you're like, ah, like
those bright lights. And I will say, the first take, I was like, because I'm thinking, I'm gonna need this. But then, as you know, we all know, you'll see comments that rip a club. And it goes back to what Dave said earlier. You rip a club and you know they're nice. But then for sometimes when it's like an action, it's like, it's a whole different ballgame.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. 2 minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. No prep, no mess meals. Just easy peasy, baby. Factor's meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, no cooking, or cleanup needed. Head to factormeals.com/burning50 and use code burning50 to get 50% off. That's code burning50 at factormeals.com/burning50 to get 50% off. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets for your next big event. Game Time is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. With zone deals, you pick the section, and Game Time picks the seats for big savings. Let me tell you something. We use Game Time all the time. Isla and I. Isla's really into seeing music. But with my schedule, I never know where I'm going to be or when I'm going to be. So when I'm home, Isla will just hop on Game Time and be like, Dad, real quick, Five Finger Death Punch. And you're like, boom. So easy that we have to second guess ourselves. Like, did we do this right? Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code BURNING for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code BURNING for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Can I get a fuzzy off your head?
Go for it.
Can I tell you guys what I'm making?
Hold on.
I am making you guys lobster mac and cheese with tuna burgers. So I'm going to ground the tuna. It's high-grade sushi tuna. We'll sear it on the outside. I got a mix in here. I'm going to put them in burger form with lobster mac and cheese. I was going to make gay.
Don't say that.
I was going to.
Gay?
What is gay?
The gay thing. What's the gay mac and cheese?
No, black gay men in America make the best potato salad on the planet.
Did you know that, Whitney?
I have dated a couple black gay men, so I do know that.
Black gay men?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that work?
What do you mean? I'm glad that this is blending over. Perfect time. Okay, and how it works.
How does it work?
Yeah.
So did you find out that they were gay?
You find out later. It's tricky because rich...
I know later.
Rich gay black men are very similar to gay men. There's like jewelry, there's V-necks, there's good hygiene, so it's hard to tell if they're just rich.
That's why I don't take showers.
You know what?
So people know you're straight?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, hell nah, I like pussy. You know?
That's why you douse yourself in whale cum.
Yeah.
He gives me his new lotion, and he's like, it's whale cum.
But what was it? What was that ingredient that was welcome?
Ambergris.
Ambergris, yeah.
Did you know that Donnell has a lotion?
No.
And it's got whale cum in it?
It would make sense. It would lead into the first joke on his special.
I've never made a tuna burger, so what was all the ingredients that you put
so
in?
So, what I'm going to do, this is...
Are you confused because it's not catfish?
It's tuna. We've got a sauce.
You can't
sauce.
Just go, you can't... What's the sauce?
It's
okay, all right, got you.
And then we got some
egg. Well, one-handed egg crack. That was wild.
Pretty gangster.
Okay.
And then
until we bite that shell at the end of it.
I know. I think there's a beak in there.
Hold on, I'm getting it out. And then we put some breadcrumbs in.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that should bind it.
You know what I miss? Shake and bake.
But white people do shake and bake. Black people do it different. White people, what they do is
just dance. Is that what we're talking about?
Come on, Bert. You can't say that. You can't say you can't say we dance, Bert. No, I'm just saying. You guys go by the instruction. You don't add no other ingredients. It's just like what's in the box.
Yes.
Black people gotta be like, nah, you gotta doctor it up, bro. Put some garlic powder up in that bitch, some lemon pepper powder. They be like this, yeah, I got it, but I had to do something special to it. We do something special. You guys do like this. It says
what is that?
When it comes to water.
What is that about, though? Do you think that's cultural? Is that, like, there has to be a comment on the thing? Because, like, I know, like, potato salad is a big thing. Like, you cannot...
In the black community?
If you can't, you cannot bring potato salad to a black picnic as a white person.
Uh-huh.
They'll light you the fuck up.
No, you can bring it, but don't put goddamn grapes...
Oh, yeah.
And artichoke hearts and raisins. And apple chunks.
Pine nuts.
Right. And put some motherfucking mayonnaise in there, man. Nobody want potato salad with olive oil. I'm just saying, who give a shit about German potato salad?
It is true. What?
But that's who created potato salad.
Well, Germans? They did master it.
Yes.
Well,
German potato salad is where potato salad comes from.
Oh, I didn't know that. But
yeah, that's why.
I feel like white people started adding the raisins and the fruit and the cherries and the dried shit. You
cherries.
Know what I mean? Yeah, like dry, you
cranberries,
know, like
yeah.
Yeah, cranberries. Like I feel
dude, fucking grapes and chicken salad is are pretty
excellent.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I don't want to say it. I'll tell you this. I won't say it to your face, but
I love potato salad with apple chunks and grapes.
Do you really? That's because you only date white women.
I didn't say that. Who said that? Wait, I never said that.
Wait, what did you do?
And I'm counting the chicks.
What is your, like, when you, like, flirt with a white woman, what's, like, your opening line? Like, want to swing by Whole Foods?
No, I don't have an opening line.
Like, do you have to have a different approach for white women?
No, I don't have a different approach for...
I would definitely need a different approach for black chicks.
For sure.
I'd be like, yo, what's up, shorty?
You'd have
can
to
I
like...
play against some conversation?
That was the worst black person. It was the worst black impression, but it was the best white dude doing a black impression
that I've
ever heard.
Did you ever audition for SNL?
Me, no. I've never auditioned for anything.
Really?
Yeah, I never really did anything in this business.
What's the one thing you came super close on and didn't get, and now you look back and you're like, thank God I didn't get it?
There was a sitcom that was on CBS. It was a, what is it called, a put pilot. Put pilot. And the guy who directed Van Wilder was directing it. Walt Whitman or something?
It was Walt Whitman.
And I tested for it. I went into test for it. And all the people at CBS knew me, and they loved me. Mm-hmm. And that day, I hurt my neck. I lifted up the mattress to look for something, and I tried to hold it, and I hurt my neck, and I couldn't move my neck. So in the whole audition, I had to do this. And in the middle of the audition, they're like, are you hurt? It's a test. I'm testing for less than all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to murder this. Chris Kattan tested for it. Gary Valentine tested for it.
Okay.
And Paul F. Tompkins booked it. And I think about that. I thank God for that every day. Because I would have turned into an actor. I would have been like...
Think about the level you were at when they wanted your type.
Yeah. Piss broke. Because I remember just had Ira. And the idea, my guarantee was 25 grand for the pilot, 50 grand per episode.
That's...
Would have changed my fucking life.
Yeah, it would.
And I would have never focused on comedy. I would have never focused on my I never would have done a podcast.
But it would have gotten canceled. I mean,
No, they booked Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
And I remember going, that's the wrong guy. Like, he's definitely not
so
a
if
dad.
You were in
dad. He'll never be a dad.
But if you had been in it, it would have gone forever.
Oh, if I had done it, it would have gone forever.
This is the kind of confidence I need.
Yeah. That morning, I was looking for my watch. I had lost. I'd taken it off while I slept, I guess. And I lifted my mattress up, and I put my head to hold the mattress up, and it pulled my neck, and I couldn't move my neck for the whole audition.
Why would your watch be under the mattress in the bed?
I used to drink a lot. Hey, does anyone want a cocktail? Is it just me drinking beer?
Yeah, I do Tito's and tonic.
Tito's and tonic?
Oh, wow.
Donnell, how about this? Can I please persuade the African-American community to try Porosos?
Nope. Fair enough. I said nope, motherfucker. Nope is different from no. Nope is like, I don't even want to revisit that.
I
had a story kind of reverse of what you're saying. About the I had
well, you know this is my vodka, right?
Oh, I would love some of that vodka. It's hard to get a black person to change brands, man. I'm so sorry, son.
Can you guys make like
I didn't know that was your vodka. I would love that. But yo, Bert, I had the story you said about something you thought
a job you really, really wanted and you didn't get it and now you're happy.
Auditions,
yeah.
I had a audition experience where I thought I completely bombed in the audition. It was for HBO's The Corner. I don't know if you remember The Corner.
But
I do remember The Corner. Mm.
The Corner was The Wire. You remember HBO's The Wire?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Wire was a spinoff of The Corner.
Got it. Right? That's right. Okay.
And I was a young actor then, and I never really took acting that serious. Like, I didn't read. I wasn't like, I have the audition I just go to. I didn't know my lines or anything. I was just like, I could just go wing it. The role was for this guy to play heroin. He was a heroin addict, right? So I went to audition. I had my lines, and I just drew a blank. I couldn't remember anything. I was fumbling all the lines. Cut to 2-3 days later, my agent called me, and it was like, Donnell, you booked it. And I was like, what?
I was about to say, you were in The Corner.
Yeah, like, but I thought I bombed in this
audition. But you were playing the heroin addict?
Yeah. So when I get on set, the first thing I asked David Simon, I was like, how in the hell did I get this role? He said, well, we like the fact that you threw the lines away. And that was my interpretation, was like this, I forgot the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, how you play a heroin addict, I didn't go into that. And I think everybody went in there was going in like, yeah, man, that's not the person they wanted to see.
Right.
They wanted to see the person that wasn't high. How do you function around everybody else? And that, and I got the role like that.
Because when you're high, you try to not be high.
Are you trying to say if I ever did heroin?
I mean, I've never done heroin.
I've never done it. I've done a lot of stuff, but heroin is that scary one.
What's your, that one.
What's the most fun drug you've done?
Marijuana. That'll fuck your life up. You'll be up 3:00 in the morning looking out the window with your dick out your pants.
When was the first time? When was the first time you smoked weed? I want to hear the story. Paint the picture. I want to know. Baltimore, 1982. You and your buddies. Or by the old abandoned house?
No, it wasn't. It was Washington, D.C. I probably was like about 15 years old, and I always hung out with older dudes. And the weed I had then, it's not this shit that they have now.
No.
It's I had
like,
to quit.
It was this shit that, like, you had to take a, I know this is some old school shit, you had to take an album cover, and you had to clean the weed first.
To get the seeds out.
Get the seeds out. You had to do it, yeah, and it was just like top papers. That's how old I am. We used to get high with top papers.
God, man.
But
I
marijuana
that.
Is the only thing I've ever had.
But here's the weed in California right now is so strong. You guys saw me lose my mind a bit in the pandemic. Had to quit.
I miss that, Whitney.
You know?
I miss that,
a
Whitney.
A lot
you know,
of people do.
I gotta be honest with you. It's so
my
funny.
My lawyers don't.
No, it gives me hope for everyone's digital footprint. Because your digital footprint was wild for a second, and it's normal again.
You know what's weird? Can I ask you, why was it so odd that I had blue hair?
Because you were alone and did it.
Okay, so automatically. Did you guys think I just had become a lesbian?
No, not at all. I thought you were still very straight.
I just thought you were enjoying life.
Okay, see?
You were enjoying life.
Yo, you were during the pandemic. During the pandemic, when this was what I gathered about your personality during the pandemic, you was really living life.
I was trying. Look, if you lived in California, especially Southern California, you believed that we were going to die of that pandemic.
And then
you had
pool parties.
I was having
pool parties.
You ain't about to die, cannonball!
I know. I'm just going to date Tim Dillon. But I started smoking LA weed and just like to go to sleep. Oh, is my microphone off or not working?
Or is there a spot in the fridge I can put this? Someone that works here for me?
Here's what I say. I promise the YouTube comments will be better if my mic is off.
No, Whitney, let me tell you something. Your YouTube comments have always been good, whether you were crazy or not. I love about both you guys, but you guys you're not comment reading motherfuckers. You're just real people. And that's, I don't read comments.
I read them until they start getting fucked up. We love you. You're the best. You love you. Fuck you. Yeah. You on Dave Chappelle's dick. And I'm like, man, fuck these punk ass.
Oh,
these comments.
Yeah. I've been doing that with Rogan forever. Hey, good. Cheers.
Why didn't I get to have one?
What did you mix this with?
Why didn't I get one?
Oh, I thought, because you're a mom.
Hey, Bert, what did you put in here?
Isn't that when you start drinking?
Can I try it without tonic?
My vodka?
Yeah.
Of course.
I want to taste it without the help of the tonic.
Yeah. All right, let's put the... I'm so in the weeds on this meal.
That's pretty good. That's so good that I could just do it on ice.
Yeah, it's fucking pretty great. I'm going to make the pasta first. I'm going to let it sit.
I think your culinary skills stepped up from the last time I've been here, son. So much you didn't even trust me to make it.
I'm still shocked you don't have a cooking show. And if you want one, I will fucking fund it. And we can shoot it out of this kitchen.
Less.
Do you guys ever read your comments on YouTube and some of them? Well, do you ever
read
roasted? Do you ever get roasted? And you're kind of like, that was a good one.
Yeah, no, they mean they're nasty.
Yeah,
I mean I don't want to read comments, but I just want to kind of feel the climate of what's going on.
Sure, sure.
And it's very addictive, you know what I'm saying?
It is.
Until you hit that, when you start hitting the bad ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I really got to remove myself from it because...
They're good until they're not. Yeah. And then once it's like I can read 5 good ones and then I read 1 negative one and I start fucking melting down and I go, well, then why would I read the good ones? And it's addictive.
And if you believe the good, you have to believe the bad.
So why don't you just turn your comments off?
No, I'm not going to do that. That's a weak power move. Well, I did it on the Black Wednesday, whatever the Black Lives Matters thing.
Why are you looking at her when you talk about
Black Lives Matter? I was looking at you. Oh, I was looking at her as the right word.
Performative.
That's mine. Yeah. That's supposed to be on me. I got all of that. Fight the power, all of that.
You know when you were supposed to post the black square?
Yes. Yeah.
And I posted it, and then all of a sudden I was like, wow, 3,000 comments. That can't be bad. And then I was like, haha, delete comments. And then they're like, this coward turned his comments off. Yeah.
The people are so judged on Instagram. You damn if you do, you damn if you don't. Because if you don't post, if you post too much, like, oh, he's posted a lot this week, right?
Yeah.
And then if you don't post, like, yeah, he ain't saying shit. So it's like you got to do like a 2-post minimum or whatever.
But
that
you
is.
Know you can auto-block certain words on Instagram that are like consistent? You don't know about
this?
How do I
auto-block Nazi? You
like, what would your auto-block words be? I had to block, like, whore, slut, cunt.
Yeah, but it's easy to be... Okay, no, I'm not saying it's easy to be a woman or a black man, but I am saying that...
I would block goofy. That's very hard.
Is
black.
It?
Yo, goofy? You a goofy. Yeah,
like, what's the meanest thing someone can say?
To me?
Yeah, goofy.
The meanest thing that you can say, and I responded to this a while ago, was you're not funny.
Yeah, that's true.
That's going to set me off, bro.
But, what's an insult that's just, like, over the line? Like, because I feel like for most women, it's, like, the word cunt, I feel like.
Black people don't identify with that.
But why?
I don't think so.
It's like the same thing, cut back to the fucking Mike Epps, Shannon Sharp thing. I go, gay, okay. I would never respond to gay. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah,
but I'm not gay. I don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah, but you got, Like, black folks, we maintain our homophobia a lot longer than white guys.
Yeah, that's clear.
Yeah, but it's just doesn't...
I just stopped doing it 10 years ago.
But stop being homophobic?
Yeah, it was tough. I tried, they beat me down. I couldn't do it no more.
What do you mean?
I said, I quit, you win. I could not do it. I tried it, but I could not do it. I tried it. It was simple stuff like that freshen up chewing gum with the jelly shit in the middle.
Oh,
that was my last thing.
Not Gushers.
You had to stop eating Gushers because it made you feel gay?
Yeah. I call it, in the streets, they call it the bus off gum. The bus off gum. I had to quit after the bus off. I bit into that shit and I was like, yo, this gum just came
in my
mouth. What the fuck is wrong with you gay motherfuckers? And that was it. They didn't like it.
Straight women go through that too.
Cunt is not offensive in our community.
Okay, yeah, no, mine either.
Cunt is what?
Cunt, it's not, I don't offensive. Find...
You call a black chick a cunt, they'll laugh at you.
Yeah.
I've said things to black women that I didn't think would upset them and that really upset them.
Like what?
Smile more.
You know what? I got a version of that, and it's offensive too. Fix your face.
Those are buckshots.
Yeah. Fix your face. I remember one time I did a joke about that. I was like, women are always like this. Yeah, first off, women don't ever want to say that you're right. They'll say, well, I mean, you made your little point.
Oh.
Right? And they'll be like this, but I didn't like your tone.
Yes.
And I said, well, I would change my tone if you fix your face. And this girl was like this, but she was like this. She said, what's wrong with my face? I was like, just fix it. She said, what's wrong with my face? What's wrong with my face? I was like, it's broke. Fix it.
What's a fight you get into a lot in relationships?
Well, I don't want to fucking ruin your special.
All right,
Within the first 5 minutes, he's got a great joke about being in a toxic relationship. It's a fucking great joke. I'm not going to ruin it. Go see him on Netflix right now. It's, what's the name of your special? Great Day? Beautiful Day?
New Day.
New Day.
Yeah.
It's a new day.
I'll tell you
it's
something.
It's a new
birds
day.
Flying high. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by.
But like, remember, was it Back to the Future where like the one thing you couldn't call him was like yellow? And he wasn't Asian. Don't panic. But remember, that was like the crossing the line?
I don't know.
Chicken was one of them, too. He's like, whatever you do, don't call me Chicken.
Oh, I just watched a movie where...
Is this right?
I just watched A Fish Called Wanda. And if you told Kevin Kline he was stupid, he'd lose his fucking mind.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's your, like, third rail like
racist.
That?
If you call me racist, because I've made so many jokes, and then you go, he's actually a racist, it shuts me down. And I go, stop, you're not... It's not fun anymore.
Why do you get so upset about that?
Because there's no comeback. You can't defend that you're not racist. You can't show that you're not
so
racist.
So you don't do like with the gay comic, you're like, oh, I got plenty of black friends.
Yeah, I tried. That's why you're here.
That's racist.
Get off me.
That's racist as shit, son. Yo, I used to be mad. I used to get mad when people like I used to get mad. Racist.
Then
I said, you know what? I personally don't have time for all racists.
Okay.
Right? I'm like, if you're not fucking with my paper, you're not fucking with my family, I don't care about you being a racist. Like I said, why would I care about a racist gas attendant? How are you gonna disturb my day? I don't have time to deal with that shit.
Yeah, just get your electric car.
Yeah. Could you stop it? You're a fucking mom now. You do feel mommy,
weird?
Though.
Isn't
you
that
feel
weird?
Mommy.
I feel it, too.
I called you the other day, right?
Oh, yeah?
And we missed each other, right? And this was a question. this is a question I wanted to ask you, and I didn't get a chance to ask you that, right? I wanted to ask you, like, how does momhood feel to you? And do you, this is a tough question, do you feel as successful as you were and are, do you feel like being a mom, do you think that completed you?
Ooh, good question, Donnell.
I mean, I can't say no, obviously, but
do you just feel
I
like
couldn't
you're...
say no, but the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. I mean, I was talking to Bert about this earlier. Like, female comedians, if they don't have kids, we have to become like activists. So I feel
saving shit too, right?
Yes.
You were saving shit before, though.
I know,
right?
I was.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Horses,
you
dogs.
Was built to be a mom. You were saving shit.
I was running around like saving giraffes and dogs and other comics.
But no black people, but continue. I seen those poo bars. You wanted me to help you with your quota.
That shit was there.
This show is sponsored by DraftKings. Tournament time is officially here, so fill out your bracket and place your bets on who you think will rise to the top. With my partners at DraftKings Sportsbook right now, all new customers who bet $5 will get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings app now and sign up using my code Burning. The crown is yours. That's right. New customers can bet just $5 on anything and receive $150 in bonus bets instantly. Stay in on the action and use your $150 in bonus bets on DraftKings. Same game parlay for a shot at even bigger payout. Combine multiple bets together from the same game, including total points scored, number of rebounds by your favorite players, and more. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry. You can still join in on all the action and all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have a shot to win big cash prizes. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers use my promo code Burning and bet just $5 on any wager and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code Burning on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this, now, through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right, no cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer's good through April 30th. Get started at Robinhood.com/boost. Subscription fees may apply. And now for some legal info. Claim as of Q1 2024, validated by Radius Global Market Research. Investing involves risk, including loss. Limitations apply to IRAs and 401ks. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold for 1 year from the date of the first 3% match. Must keep Robinhood IRA for 5 years. The 3% matching on transfers is subject to specific terms and conditions. Robinhood IRAs are available to U.S. customers in good standing. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker dealer.
So I feel like having a child has made me more present.
I was so happy for you.
Thank you.
Because I just feel like this. I'm not saying that there's something missing in your life, but I just felt like there was something that you would enjoy, because all the love that you have for people, and then they shit on you and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, this motherfucker needs somebody to give her unconditional love.
Aww.
You know what
I mean? Well, that's dogs.
She's been raising, like when you went to her house during the pandemic, there were fucking 20 people there at all times that she was raising.
I know.
Yeah, like raising
it's
adults.
It's your energy. You've always had that energy. I mean, not to get too schmoopy and deep, but you kind of mothered your mom into the next life.
That's correct.
I mean,
that's correct. I probably kept her alive a little too long, frankly. I was mothering my parents for a long time. But yeah, I think for me, I think comics, like, I mean, Bert, you're so kind of comically traditional in the way that sort of like your marriages and stuff. But I was like, oh, I think I have to have a husband before I had a kid. Like, I was waiting for that order. And I was
non-black.
Like,
non-black.
I was like, yeah.
I'm telling you, well, when I had a baby, they say, when are you going to get married? I got the baby. That's black marriage.
We have a baby.
That's black marriage. Baby! Connected forever.
Have you been engaged even?
No, I got close to it.
Yeah? What happened?
Yeah. COVID.
I
started learning these mental health words. I was like, fuck that.
You started learning mental health words?
Yeah, like gaslighting, boundaries,
okay.
And all that type of stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know if it was for me.
And let me ask you, the gaslighting and all the mental health terms, was she accusing you of doing those things?
Yeah. And this was,
that's wild.
No, what it was because she knew that I didn't know what these words meant.
Yeah.
So I didn't have no dent. People, if she would say something, I'd be like, fuck it then.
People throw these words around a lot now. Like, girls will say, like, he gaslit me, he love bombed me.
Monkey branch. I found monkey branch. You know what monkey branch?
No.
Monkey
that
branch.
That might be just you guys.
You don't know what monkey branch is?
It sounds
never
racist.
Heard it. It sounds racist.
Sounds very racist.
No. Monkey branch, Google this shit. Monkey branch is when somebody supports, this is my definition.
When Wait, hold somebody on. Is supports, it yours or the definition?
Yes, you ready? Getting your next relationship set up before dumping your current.
Oh, that's Monkey what Branch? I, yeah, that's what
oh,
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that will happen to you one day, Leanne.
It's like going from one relationship to another and not leaving the other one so you know you have another person secured.
Yeah, yeah.
I monkey branched my whole fucking life.
Isn't that just called cheating?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's I did a it.
Monkey branch. Did you cheat on me? I branched you.
There's
a monkey branch.
I do feel like people throw around these terms now, these like psychology terms, as kind of like a way, like what you said about race, is to like end the conversation. There's no way to come back. When someone says like you're gaslighting me, there's nothing you can say that's not going to feed into you seeming like you're being gaslighting.
And you're gaslit.
Yeah, like you can't win that. But I hear like a lot of people say like you love bombed me. When women accuse men of love bombing them, is like, didn't we just used to, like, he was into you and then he got to know you and stopped liking you?
They love to be love bombed until they get upset about something.
But do guys go into relationships going, I only want to be in love for a couple months and then bounce?
Well, yeah, it's like getting in someone's pants is better than fucking them all the time.
What?
Getting in someone's pants is so much fun.
Married guy.
No, but like, getting in someone's pants is the best part of the moment you'll have. Is when you go to unbutton her pants and she doesn't stop you and you go, for Leanne, it's a first kiss.
Yeah, pants haven't had buttons in a while, so this is
No.
What?
It's when you go to take their trousers off.
So when you pull down their bloomers.
No, but like Leanne one time said to me, the one thing that she was gonna miss the most out of being married was first kisses. And I had a hard time understanding that because I don't like a first kiss.
Me either.
There's so much energy and nervousness.
You know what I hate when you get teeth on teeth in a first kiss?
Never been there.
Never?
Never.
I've
only kissed a handful of fucking chicks.
I thought that was do you ever get teeth on teeth in a first kiss?
No,
What?
When I started dating white chicks, it was easier because the lips were a lot different. I'm so sorry. Oh boy, my black card is gone. Thank you, Bert. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Is that why we get along? Because my
that's a straight shot. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's fucking brilliant. That's fucking brilliant. His new Netflix special, New Day, streaming on Netflix right now.
It might be a new career. I'm about to work for Amazon after this.
Don't you think it's a lot of pressure to have to initiate a first kiss? I see why women will miss doing a first kiss, but for guys, it seems like so much pressure.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. How do you know when you can go
in? I never did. There's girls that think I'm gay to this day.
Because you didn't.
I didn't do it.
Huh.
I wouldn't do it.
But
I used to be a nice kid. And the reason why, I lost my virginity at a later age.
Okay, like what age?
17.
Okay.
Well, in the black community, that's 140.
I was supposed to have two kids. I was supposed to have two kids by now. And I was like a dope kisser because I would, this is what I used to always do. I was afraid to have sex. I'll be honest, right?
Why?
I don't know, because I didn't know
if
I...
You're pregnant so quick.
I didn't know if I was good, because I've never had experience, I didn't know. So I would like, but boy, on the kiss side, I was the shit. They used to be like, oh, I know he could do it, right? And what I used to do to get out of it, I used to be like this, all right, look, you know, if you think we're going too far, let me know. I don't want to force you into anything you don't want to do, right? Mm. And for the most part, these girls are like, okay, you're right, I don't want to do anything. But I met this one girl, she was like, no, you ain't said shit. I got nervous as shit. I was like, what the fuck do you do now? But I was a kisser, they just knew I was nice, but I had no experience.
Mm.
And the first time I got it popping, I fell in love with this girl. I was writing her notes.
Oh.
Getting balloons and shit like that.
Okay.
Writing poems like together forever equals success. And I was just being all romantic and shit. I was like, this chick love me. And then this is when you know it's not the right chick or she might not feel the same way. Cause I would share these thoughts with my friends and I'd be like, what you think about so-and-so? They'd be like this. Whatever a dude does like this, it's something he don't want to tell you. And he was like, they'd be like this. I don't know. And I didn't. When you think you're in love, you ignore that, right? Come to find out, this chick that I lost my virginity to, she just was a jump off.
A jumper?
Jump off.
What's a jump off?
A jump off is a person that's in a lot of sexual relationships with no commitment to love or anything.
It's like a monkey brancher who doesn't look for the next branch.
Yeah. Got it.
They just fucking...
Yeah, they like to fuck.
Okay.
And that's cool, but not for your, you know.
So she was sleeping with other people?
My friends.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, your friends? That sucks. I bet that happened.
She was, as they say, about that life, and she was for the streets.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How's she doing now?
Fuck, I mean, I don't think she's doing as good as I am.
Okay.
She's definitely not doing as good as he is.
You know.
How do you know when you're in love?
How do I know I'm in love when I don't want to fuck anybody else?
Okay.
Yeah.
Tunnel vision.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, but that's, yeah.
But here's the thing, the interesting thing about that is like...
I want to talk about
tunnel
the
vision.
Streets.
Tunnel vision.
Can we talk about the streets?
Yeah, let's get back to...
No, I'm just joking, go ahead.
Let's get back to Cat Williams.
Yeah. Oh, you can't say that! You can't say get back to... Oh, come on, man.
He's the streets.
Why are we so afraid to talk shit about other comics?
I'm not afraid, I just don't do it here because it's backfired.
Yeah.
Like I can tell you, I'll tell you secrets all day, but the truth is, here's the deal: is I've had shit talked about me. I talked to you guys both about someone who's talking shit about me. It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts, and then I go, well, I wouldn't want to do that to someone.
Sure.
You know? And I think part of that too, Bert, is that nobody will really, really understand your feelings.
Yeah.
And then people, especially in my community, people associate everything to like, oh, you're a hater. If you dislike something about somebody, yeah. Like, oh, you're a hater, so.
But I think that something that I love so much about our community in comedy is there's this unspoken agreement. That
our community? My community, okay. Our
comedy.
Your community is the same community as my community.
No, it's 100%. A lot different.
You have a different side that shows up in your community that I don't have to deal with.
Yeah, like, but you know what, some people always, with all this stuff that's going on in my community of comedy, people are always like, it's only black people go at each other like that.
That's not real.
Let me explain that. They always like this. They're like this. Yeah, why is it that black people go so hard at each other? I was like, white people go just as hard, but they put it under the umbrella of a roast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yo, they call it a roast. I hate this motherfucker. Let's have a Whitney roast. And then you get to know somebody's really, that's why when I did your show, remember I told your people, they were like, oh, Whitney wants you to do this roast. And I was like, man, I don't roast because they take it too personal. I'm going to get mad. And then she told me how much. I said, I'll be roasting tomorrow. I'll be roasting. I'll be braising. I'll be brawling.
So
then she doubled down. She did it twice. I was like, roast the fuck out of me.
Donnell shows up to like, you know, because when you're doing a roast, there's just like a writer's room of writers just brainstorming stuff and putting a list together. I was like, Donnell, here's a list of like facts or whatever. And then everyone came in and they're just like pitching jokes. Donnell came in and was like, you know that I'm going to fight you people. Like, we're going to fight after this.
But I'm telling you that.
Donnell was refreshing.
I'm going to tell you something. As much as, this is why I didn't, when I did your roast, and they was giving me some good jokes or whatever, right? But I'm like this, I don't want to be on script where I think I didn't want to feel like that, right? Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because your producer, like, I had this paperwork and I was like, wait a minute, Donnell. Do you want to trust these jokes or do you want to trust yourself? You know what I'm saying? And that's why I threw the paper down, right? And somebody said, I knew it was going to be something special when they looked at the teleprompter and it was black.
Black square.
Yeah, it was just like, oh shit.
Uh-huh. The roast, when I started doing them in the beginning, it wasn't run by a comedian. Then they had a bunch of people on that weren't comics. So it would be like a couple comedians.
Joel Gallen. That was the guy. He was a motherfucker, man. He was a bad bitch. That guy knew how to. I'm sure he's still doing stuff, but like I worked with him once.
Because he used to do the MTV Movie
Awards.
He's
a dialed-in motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. He used to do all these big specials. But then, you know, in order to get ratings or whatever it was back in the day, it would be, you know, like me, Greg Giraldo, Jeff Ross, and then like Cloris.
R.I.P. When you say somebody dead, you got to say R.I.P.
Who? Oh, Giraldo.
Oh, and if you say R.I.P. something gay, like. Don't I like you. Pause.
LGBTQ.
Pause. Right. You gotta say pause
or you
got to
preface it before.
People.
If you know you're going to say some gay shit, you got to say no homo. Say the gay shit and then pause it at the end.
I thought you said no homo after.
No.
Pause,
pause
is after.
No pause homo.
Can you give me an example?
Okay. So like, dude, I'm fucking loving Cameron and Mace. Pause. But
right, you got and I got to catch it before he pause.
Yeah.
Right. Do it again.
I gotta be like this. No homo, pass me them balls. Those meatballs, no homo.
No homo.
And then when I say balls, before they get the no homo, if I say, yo, first thing you gotta have the foresight to know pause, you gotta do it. And you can't, take more than 3 seconds to say pause, because that makes you homo.
The pause, the quicker the pause, the less gay.
But
you
is this?
Are.
Yeah.
Well, and then, but then you gay if you knew the pause before it even got to that point.
But why do you even have to say? Is this
like if you mid sentence, like but meatball pause, you be like, yo, you was waiting for the pause.
Cameron's throwing a quick pauses every time.
I'm like, how
did
you
say
know?
It for a pause?
But why do you have to even qualify that you're not gay? Is it because you're
white? Because we're black.
Why?
We're black and we're built and born homophobic.
But why are people confused? Is it because you're wearing a white cashmere hoodie?
Pause. I'm just saying. Pause.
Homo. What, like,
pause.
What
are you... Pause. Oh, shit. I took the other cashmere crew neck off and put another cashmere shirt on.
No, he came in.
I came in with the same shirt. But I wanted to be gangster to put a hood on that bitch. Stop playing with me.
That is, why do you look like a fancy KKK wizard?
That's
take
it, son. Stop playing with me.
So he comes in with like a cashmere turtleneck. I was like, oh, shit. He was recently in a TMZ fight. He's wearing a turtleneck. Is he going to court?
Oh,
what's happening?
God.
And then I say, I don't want to wear this soft ass shit and put a cashmere hoodie on. I'm about cashmere.
Fuck up.
I'm a cashmere motherfucker. Pause.
Pause.
I'm a cashmere motherfucker.
Homo.
Pause. No homo.
No, I, well.
But you know, gay people
sure?
never pause.
But
no,
also,
no,
if
no.
you're gonna-
They never, you be like this. Yo, I like them pause. They be like,
And?
I feel like no one's just regular gay anymore. It went to trans and to like-
Old school gay dudes, I miss that.
I miss like a 90s
I miss
gay
a dude in the steam room just making eye contact.
Nope.
Like now they're
now
pronouns.
They're like you're in the wrong
I want
steam
old
room.
School buff ass 1997 gay dudes totally. With a little distended belly because totally. Of the testosterone.
And just like a like receding hairline
fuck
with like
yeah.
the old school plugs.
With like with a bar band around his thing that says that he wasn't gay in college but he's gay now.
Yes,
God, I miss
listen
gay guys.
To Village People. Does that make you gay?
No. Yeah, well, then, but now, like, pause.
This is what I learned. This is what I learned. This is what I learned
what?
From my, me as a retired homophobic person, that, and now this is the evolution of the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gives a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
This is when I knew that things were changing. When I first found out that my brother was gay, because he's my half-brother. When we were younger, I didn't identify with sexuality
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. I just thought that my brother was, I thought my brother had all the bitches.
Right.
Excuse me? I thought he had that, all these girls. I was like, oh, I want to, he got all the chicks, right?
Yeah.
And then.
Damn, he's trying on their shoes.
Right. And I went into the military. I went to the military. He went to college. So, and we would see each other every other weekend and that type of stuff. So part of my young adult life, I wasn't around him,
mm-hmm.
right? So I remember one time when I first moved to LA, I was at the Hollywood Improv. And he came with this guy, right? And they watched my show and everything. Right, and at the end of it, my brother felt like he had to get something off his chest. And he was like, this is how my brother told me. He said, you see that guy right there?
That's how. Oh, like, I love this guy.
No, he's the best.
So
yo, he's like this. You see, he said, this, I knew he was going to tell me something because he got a little longer. He said, you see that guy right there? He said, that's your brother-in-law. Right, and my dad had so many kids, I didn't know if he was, and I was in the middle of taking pictures, like, I didn't know he was trying to say it's another brother. I was like, I ain't got time for that
I
shit.
I love that his blackness still was there in his gayness.
But let me tell you, this
he
is
said
the
brother-in-law. Uh-huh.
But that's my
like
brother.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
That's my brother-in-law.
Oh, it's so
right?
fucking
I,
awesome.
So here's the beauty of this. My dad has so many kids. It's feel like every 3 years I was meeting somebody else. That's your sister, so and so, right? So. When he told me that, I didn't think anything of it. I was in the middle of taking pictures. It just didn't register. And then when I went home, I was like, yo, wait a minute. I think my brother just told me he was gay.
Mm.
So I called my father. My father, he passed away 4 years ago, right? Gangster motherfucker. I said, Dad, I said, I think Chucky just told me he was gay. And then my father said, yeah, man. I knew what he was up to. Like being gay was up to something. This is the most endearing thing you can say to the black community. He said, I knew he was up to something. He said, but he was talking about my brother's party. He said, but he's a good man.
Yeah.
And the fact that my dad cared more about the character of the guy that, okay, I'm gonna be real graphic. My dad cared more about the character of the guy that was fucking his son. That meant a lot. And that's when I knew I was like this. You know what? Certain mm-hmm. thoughts and certain way people felt, they changed.
Yeah.
And that's where it's got to be. Like, I don't care. Like, it's got to be come to a point where I just, all the other shit is bullshit.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, is this a good person?
No, it's crazy. And I like what your dad said. It's like, I'll just say as a father of two daughters who are growing up in this world, I don't give a fuck, who you date, who you kiss. Just be so happy.
I get obsessed with the men that straight men think are hot. Like famous men, like when guys like Tom Brady, he's like super hot.
Tom Brady's not hot, he's a dork.
Really?
I don't think he's hot. I think he would
what
be
makes him hot?
Who do you Six think Super is Balls? Handsome? Like what straight guy, like celebrity, do you think is handsome?
Edelman's attractive.
Who?
Julian Edelman's very attractive.
Julian Edelman, who's that?
Yeah, he was his wide receiver.
Oh, okay, because I always think that, like, straight guys find different men attractive than women find attractive, and then guys find women attractive.
I can't answer that question. I would relapse on my homophobia if I answered.
By the way, I can't believe
you. No, I'm straight down like this. Oh, yeah, oh, my God. You know who's hot? Fucking Tyson Beckford is fucking...
Tyson Beckford.
The fact that you know who he is means you're gay.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't acknowledge that.
You should have listed an NFL player, not a male model. Yeah. He's an underwear model.
All right, okay, what the streets say.
Okay, like, who's, like, a hand? Handsome dude.
Nobody, no. Me. Flavor Flav, motherfucker.
You know that Flavor Flav, that's how I got involved in the roast, is I wrote a joke about Flavor Flav for the Flavor Flav roast, and that's what got me hired. I wrote
really?
The joke, Flav, you look like what Magic Johnson should look like right now.
Really?
Okay, now I'm, because I've been drinking, I'm getting emotional and whatever.
Okay.
You know what, I respect you. Your vodka has me feeling like I'm on Club Shay Shay couch.
I love it.
Let's go.
It's truth serum.
Okay.
This is what I respect about anybody that's doing this game. You can get to a certain point, but when motherfuckers start giving other people opportunities,
yeah,
I love that shit. I think the best thing about what we do in our job is if you're in a position where you can create opportunities for other people.
Yeah, I think there's nothing better. Like, and it's weird when people give credit for it because
that. Damn, I had to say that shit look good.
Looks fucking good as a motherfucker. Oh,
is this an?
That's crazy.
Stunning.
Oh,
oh wow.
Here, what? Hold on. Let me get your drinks first. Wendy, do you want another drink?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question? Why did you guys decide vodka instead of like a whiskey?
That's a great question.
I agree.
Tom wanted to do whiskey, and I felt like we had too many friends that had whiskeys.
Yeah, for a white dude to have a vodka, it's like I want to have more black people in my life. But you didn't flavor it, so you don't really care about
black people. No, but I also robbed a train in Russia. It's kind of my thing.
The best way to learn a new language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that is not in the cards this year, you can still learn a new language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. My favorite thing in the world to do is get the girls and Leanne on Babbel. Go on a vacation and get ready for it. It's so fun to compete with your family. I'm doing it with Tom, too. We've done it in the past, but it's so fun, and it's so easy, and it's really set up so you can have real conversations that you're going to use on vacation. Here is a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/burning. Get 55% off at babbel.com/burning, spelled babbel.com/burning. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This looks insane.
So
I feel like we need to cut
this. The beautiful part is the tuna should be medium rare, which is perfect because it's high-grade sushi.
Why you look at me like you had like I was going to order it well done?
I'm just making sure everyone knows it can be medium rare.
Everybody meaning Danielle?
And
that's a nice knife.
I wanted to cut mine in half.
Here, please, feel free.
I feel like I need to. I feel like that's as soon as you have a kid, you start cutting sandwiches.
Okay.
You're not going to eat that whole sandwich, are you?
You don't think I can finish this whole thing?
What I was saying was, I could do half that and I could do this to go because it looks that good. I mean, this is really, really, really good.
That's delicious.
And this mac and cheese is really, really good, son.
Mac and cheese is good. Try the sandwich.
That burger is fire,
that's
son.
Really right? Good. But is this Thousand Island dressing?
Mm-mm.
What is on top?
Sriracha aioli.
Oh.
The sriracha aioli.
You know, like, when people have cooking shows, they don't actually eat, like, they're kind of, like, grazed so that they can still host their show?
I don't.
No, I'm eating.
I'm eating. Like,
I mean,
a
like,
lot of butter.
You should.
No, they used to do one, they do the bite like this.
The fake.
No, here's the bite.
Like, I feel like we're just eating. Like, this is still a show.
No, you gotta keep doing this.
I wanna do a movie where I.
This is good, good.
Where I die.
Okay.
But so I get reincarnated. I get reincarnated in Donnell's body.
Oh shit!
Because my wife has to be married Donnell. I think she'd be the happiest person alive.
No, you can't say that, Bert. Come on, you can't say that.
My wife likes you so much more than me.
I can't stop eating this, man.
I'm here.
This is the first time I've done the show and actually eaten for
real. There, I fucked that last one up.
You fucked what up?
The salmon.
Oh, when I came on with Tim
really
Dillon,
bad.
This
was really bad.
Salmon caviar.
There's so much mayonnaise. It's disturbing me that the whole fish. No, it's disturbing that the whole fish was baked in a casing of mayonnaise. And just look. Can you get a close up on this? This is all mayonnaise. Look at this. This is just mayonnaise.
I'm fucking crying, laughing.
But this one was good. And by the way, don't throw out the mac and cheese. We'll eat it tomorrow.
You're definitely eating that tomorrow.
I feel like damn
this is legitimately delicious.
It is.
That's all I wanted to hear.
I didn't want to tell you that, but you had to hear it, but it was good.
Guys, congratulations on the new special.
It's
the
a baby. New day. It's a new dawn.
It's a new day.
And I'm feeling good.
Great episode, everybody. Something's burning.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.